Thank you, Miss Errol. Beautiful song, and I want to thank Brother and Mrs. Oishi over there. Did a great job, guys. Good to see you back here. And graduated last summer there. And where are you guys going next? Come on, it's traveling and doing God's will. Nothing like it, huh, my brother? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I encourage you to pray for Pastor Myers as he is traveling. He is going to make it to church tonight. The service does not start until 7 o'clock, so he's almost there. And pray for him. Pray for his driving, that he doesn't fall asleep. And just pray that God would use this time to help our pastor to kind of get some energy and some rest as he's up there listening to preaching. A couple years ago he went, he got sick, and he was stuck in the hotel. So we pray that that's not him this week, and he will go out and get some fellowship and get some preaching in there. So that is a blessing. Make sure you do remember to text him and pray for him. Let him know that you're praying for him. If you are, something called a snail mail, you can mail him or put a note card in under his door and just let him know that you appreciate him. You know, as a pastor, sometimes it's overwhelming, and he helps your families. He prays for you. He's concerned for you. He always asks about you. If you're not in church, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so in church. What's going on? Is there something I could do? Can I text somebody in your class that's struggling? He wants to know how you're doing. And go by, see him, talk to him, and be a blessing to our pastor as he is a blessing to us. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31. And then said Jesus unto them, Matthew 26, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, that thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter stood unto him, or said unto him, though I shall die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now Peter sat in verse 69, if you can turn over a couple verses there. Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid said unto them that were with were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know that man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by him and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus and said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that you be with us these next couple minutes. Help us, Lord, to get something from your word and leave here encouraged and challenged and changed. Father, may your word have dominion over our lives, Lord, and may your Holy Spirit indwell in us richly and help us to control our every thought and our just who we are. Help us to yield to him. And we pray, Father, that you just help us to grow again because we've been here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever failed? Have you ever felt embarrassed? I remember one time I was right out here in the hallway, and we would have work parties. And I remember that day, I did not bring my clothes or anything like that. I was at the work party. I had to do some things, so I couldn't paint couldn't get ready for, I think we were getting ready for youth conference. I don't work in my shirt and tie. My last name is not Pritchardo. My first name is not Brother Ray. So I do have work clothes. And we're out there, and some kids were cleaning up. And one of the things I hate the most is after somebody paints, instead of cleaning it, right, Tim, and using the proper tools to clean the paint out, they just stick it in a bucket or leave it there. And, you know, sometimes we spend money on a pretty brush or a real good brush, $14, $20 a brush, and we come back after one use, it's as hard as a rock. And I remember one time we came and I decided to help clean up. I mean, man, I helped paint a little bit with my shirt and tie on. I'm like, no paint on me, none on my hand, none of my clothes. Praise God. And I remember a couple of teenagers were there. And I was putting everything away, and I put the can lid on, the paint can, and tried to push it down and get it as snug as possible so the paint will last and we could use it for the next time. So me and my great wisdom decided, you know, I can't fully push it with my hand. I don't want to get my hand dirty, so I'm going to, you know, try to get it with my foot. And remember, not one speckle of paint on me. And I went out, put the can down. I'm all by myself. The kids were clean. I went. And through all that, all of a sudden, whoosh, paint started coming up and got me all over. I'm thinking, oh, my soul. Ah! I don't know what went on, but man, I felt like, you know, you got the job done, you got no paint on you, and the last minute, you messed yourself up. And you're thinking, wow, I just failed. I was driving one day, and right here on Willow, and I was in college, and I was listening to the song, Step Into the Water, way out a little bit deeper. And I was getting all into the song, and you know, it was just, I was just in a zone by myself. I mean, I was getting into it and I was singing it. And a couple was on the side there. And as I was singing, I was going, I was doing hand motions and facial motions and everything like that. I turned around, these people were looking at me, smiling. I'm thinking, oh, my soul failed again. You know, I believe every Christian should have a goal to truly live the life of a Christian that God wants us to live. And if I was to ask each and every one of us today, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, what type of Christian would you want to be? Probably without a shadow of a doubt, all of us would say, I want to be 10 plus. And that's our desire. A desire to know Christ, to love Him, and to grow and to do what He wants us to be, I believe is the heartbeat of every Christian in here. Yet, along the way, we have setbacks. We have disappointments. And yes, we have failures. Even Jesus said, "This world, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer." He says, "I've overcome the world." We have pastors. I've been in the ministry for quite some time, and I call and I talk to different pastors, and sometimes during youth conference, I'll call a church, and the youth pastor is no longer there, or I'll ask for a pastor and the pastor is no longer there, or I'll call a church and that church that was there is now no longer there. We have pastors who feel like failures, and sometimes parents who feel like failures, and children who feel like failures, and students who feel like failures, and yay, Christians who feel like failures. Many are failing to keep their commitments to God. Many are failing to do what's right. Many of you try to do right, and all of a sudden, boom, something comes up, and you're like, man, I just messed up. But let me encourage you, failure is not final. Romans 8:28, the Bible says this, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose." There are many people in the Bible that failed. You think of Adam. If Adam didn't fail, we wouldn't be in this mess. We'd have our heavenly bodies right now. We'd be perfect, and husbands and wives, you would never fight. Not that any of the husbands and wives at our church fight. But Adam failed, and Abraham failed. Abraham, the friend of God, failed. He lied. He was deceitful. Jacob, God changed it to Israel because he was a prince of God, with God. And yet he was a liar, a deceiver, a heel catcher. His actual name, Jacob, meant heel catcher, meaning deceiver. He failed. Oh, Moses, the great leader, led about 3 million people out of the wilderness. Out of Egypt into the wilderness. Just imagine. I mean, you have a family of six or a family of four, and you go on vacation, and I don't know about your family. Probably it's not like that, but my family is like chaos sometimes. You be quiet. Sit down. You know? I asked Pastor, I said, Pastor, when you guys, Pastor Esposito, I said, Pastor, when you guys, you got a big family, when you go on vacation, is everything okay? I mean, do the kids fight or anything? Oh, he said, oh, tell me about it. Is that right, Brother Joseph? No. He was just, he said he doesn't know. And you get this stuff. Dad, he's touching me. Been there. He's making a weird noise. But Moses led 3 million plus people. But yet Moses got mad and misrepresented God. Moses killed somebody. You think of David, a man after God's own heart. I mean, man, David was in love with the Lord. And David had the heartbeat of God. And David was the great king of Israel. But yet David killed somebody and committed adultery. We have men in the Bible that failed. And by the way, you're not a failure if you fail. All of us are going to fail. We're going to fail. But you're a failure if you quit. A man who could tell us all about failure in the Bible, we just read the passage. His name is Peter. He never intended to fail. By the way, and by the words he says, hey, I'll follow you to death. I'm never going to deny you. He never intended to fail, and he never thought he would fail Christ, but he did. What led to Peter's failure? What happened in his life? Oh, why did Peter fail and denied Christ and walked away from standing up for Christ there during that time of Christ's desperate need? Number one, we see Peter's pathway to failure. In verse 31 to 35, it gives the pathway to failure. And then said Jesus unto them, y'all shall be offended because of me this night, and it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am arisen again, I will go before thee to you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, I will not be offended. And Jesus said, and verily I say unto you, and Jesus is speaking here. And he says, you're going to deny me three times before this night is over. Peter said to him, he said, you don't know what you're talking about, God. Though I should die with thee, yet I would not deny thee. Look at the pride that's oozing out of his life. By the way, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction. 1 Corinthians 10:12, the Bible says, let he that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he fall. You know, nobody thought and nobody plans on messing up for God. And by the way, we thank God that we are what we are because of the cross and because of what God has done for us. But any time, we could slip and fall. You see, Peter had an unteachable spirit. Jesus Christ was trying to tell him, was trying to warn him. He says, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. In a sense, he rebuked Christ. By the way, young people, when people have the wisdom and that's older than you and they tell you something, sometimes we as young people need to stop, shut our mouth, and just listen. You have kids that Whoa, but this is how you do it. We need to stop, shut our mouths, and listen. Oh, but this is what I think we should do. We ought to stop, we ought to shut our mouth, and we ought to listen to older people and the people that have wisdom. But you don't understand, Dad. I want this career for my life. We ought to stop, shut our mouth, and listen to what older men, people that walk with God, have said. And by the way, that's why it's a good idea, ladies and gentlemen, before you make a big decision in your life, to go to the preacher and talk to him. The pastor is not the Pope. He's not, you know, they don't want to control your life. What he does want to do is he's out for your well-being. He's for you. He's on your side. He wants what's best for you. And sometimes as in the process, parents, of making some decisions, maybe get some help and listen to what the pastor has. You know, you try to make a big decision in your life. Oh, I'm thinking about moving here. I'm thinking about making a career change. Maybe we ought to stop and listen, go to the man of God and say, well, what do you think about this? By the way, don't go already having a decision made and, pastor, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Just want to let you know. You know what he's going to say? Praise the Lord. We'll be praying for you. Pastor Myers, he's a gentleman. He's not going to say, you idiot, that's stupid. You know, why are you going to do that? He's not going to say that. If you already made up your mind, why offend you? That's why you go to him and say, this is what I was thinking. What do you think? What do you believe I should do? What do you think? You know my family. You think this is a wise decision. By the way, say, I want your honest opinion. We need to sometimes just be quiet, shut our mouth, and listen. By the way, what was wrong with Peter? He was with the wrong people. He was with the wrong people. Verse 56, to all the way down to verse 60, he was out there. He's peddling around the palace. And then all of a sudden, verse 69, now Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also with Jesus of Galilee. He was with the wrong companionship. By the way, you will always, always, always mess up if you're with the wrong companionship. After the betrayal, the disciples fled. Jesus was taken for the Sanhedrin and had a mock trial. And instead of being in the palace or with the other apostles, he said, you know what? I'm going to hang outside. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And because of that, he had the wrong results. Oh, who are we hanging out with that's hindering us? Galatians 5:7, the Bible says, ye did run well. What did hinder you? No, it doesn't say that. It says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? You say, Brother Nate, I'm a grown man. I understand. You be careful who you hang out with. Watch out for those people at work that are unsaved. Oh, I tell our guys that go into the police department, I said, you guys had better be careful. I said, you guys had better be careful. Go to work and come home, because the buddy's going to ask you, hey, let's go out. Let's go do this. But by the way, most of them are unsaved. They have no regard for family. They have no regard for any kind of morality. Watch out who you hang out with. At work, kids, we tell the kids all the time, you are who you hang out with. Some of you are failing at work. Some of you are failing with your marriage. Some of you are failing in your Christian life because you're with the wrong friends. You're with the wrong friends. Iron sharpeneth iron. Do your friends sharpen you? Or are you getting dull? Who are you hanging out with? We're childhood friends. Oh, that's my cousin. Oh, that's my uncle. That's my neighbor. Doesn't matter who it is. Be careful who you hang out with. Peter, we don't see in the Bible he ever cursed until he was with the wrong crowd. By the way, if I'm with a certain people, I behave a certain way. That's just how it is. And if you see yourself as a Christian behaving or doing things that you're not supposed to do, maybe the association you're with, you shouldn't be with them. Number two, we see the pronouncement of failure. Verse 69 to verse 75. Verse 75, then Peter remembered the words of the Lord Jesus and said unto him, after the cock crew, thou shalt not deny me thrice. And look what happened. He went out and wept bitterly. By the way, you cannot deny Christ and his word and be happy. It just doesn't happen. I like what this preacher said one time. He said, sin always takes you further than when you want to go, leaves you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. You'll regret it. I remember a young couple, they were doing so well. They're doing well. Husband started getting busy at work. I remember the husband came to me. He said, Brother Nate, take my kid out of school. I said, well, what's going on? Why are you going to take your child out of school? He says, well, you know, my schedule is getting busy, and I just can't make it to church that much. And by the way, let me say this, and I'm careful when I say this, but if your schedule does not allow you to be in the house of God, and your work doesn't allow you to be in the house of God, consider changing your work. You need to consider praying and asking God, God, please give me another job so I could be in your house, so I could learn, so I can honor you. I know that's not popular, but that's right. He says, I'm going to take my children out of school. I said, you got to be careful. He said, everything was fine. Everything was going well. My wife came to me. He said, hun, I'm scared for that couple. I said, why? Because I don't want our kids to see that. And they're succeeding in the world. They have money in their pocket. And, man, they have nice cars. And they look like everything is good. And I said this. I said, you know the lifestyle these people are living, right? He said, yeah. They, at that time, they no longer came to church. I said, let God be truth and every man a liar. I said, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he should also reap. He said, I understand the word of God. I just don't want our kids to see that and think it's okay to live without Christ. I said, I hope nothing bad happens to them. But that lifestyle and that road always leads to destruction. Remember, I got a call on the other line, a man sobbing. He said, Brother Nate, do you mind if I talk to you? I said, for sure. Let's talk. Drove out, went to his house, picked him up. He started crying, bawling. I mean, couldn't control himself. And this is the worst I've seen this guy cried. I've known this guy since I started picking him up as a bus kid. I said, what's going on, man? He said, my wife and I were getting a divorce, and this is what's happening. Inside my heart, I felt really bad because I didn't want to say it, but I knew that was going to happen the way that people are living. And he said this, Brother Bert, he said, I don't know why God is doing this. I kindly said to him, buddy, I don't think God's doing this. I think you did this to yourself when you turned away from God. By the way, when you turn away from God, there's always going to be heartaches. There's always going to be pain. It might not happen tomorrow, but when you're a Christian and you live the life of sin and you have no regard for God's word and no regard for who God is and what God has done for you, the Bible says your sin will find you out. Number three, we see the pardon after failure. God seeks Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 real fast. I got about 10 minutes. Matthew chapter 16. I'm sorry, Mark. Did I say Matthew? I meant Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark Mark in chapter 16. Jesus is crucified and he's taken from the cross and he's was put into the grave. And by the way, the grave couldn't hold him down. And the women went. Mary Magdalene entered the tomb of Jesus. She sees the angels who says to her, look what it says, but go your way. Tell his disciples. The angel didn't stop there. And who? Peter. Jesus knew Peter went out crying bitterly. He knew he had a big mouth. He said, I'm not going to betray you. He made sure that he told Mary Magdalene, go tell his disciples and Peter. Make sure you get Peter there, that he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall ye see him, and he said, as he said unto you. I'm glad we serve a God who seeks failing sinners personally. God is there, and he's seeking you. He says, man, come home. Come home. The Father really loves you. Come home. That's where you ought to be. There's a place of peace and comfort. God's there waiting for us. Later in John chapter 21, Peter is discouraged again. And he says, I go a fishing. And he fished all night, didn't catch anything. And in John chapter 21, verse 4, what did Jesus do? He was standing at the shore waiting for Peter. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Oh, you're struggling and you failed. Jesus is right there. He's leaving his 99. He goes back out for that one sheep that's lost. Don't think Jesus doesn't care. He's out there looking for you and he's out there searching. He says, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here. Why don't you come? Hey, I'm right here. I'm still here. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. But it's your move. That's why he says, draw nigh to God and I'll draw nigh to you. Perhaps you fail the Lord. Let me ask you, let me encourage you. He's waiting for you. Lastly, we see Peter's pursuit beyond failure. Acts chapter 1 in verse 14. Peter's there. He stands up at the day of Pentecost and he's preaching to the crowd. He stands and preaches in a great multitude. The Bible says in verse 41, and they that gladly received the word of God. And the Bible says they were adding to the church that day 3,000 souls. See, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. Don't quit. Keep going. I think of our great president, President Lincoln. 1831, he failed at business. 1832, defeated for legislator. 1833, he failed in business. 1834, he was elected to legislator. 1835, his sweetheart died, had a nervous breakdown at a young age. 1838, he was defeated for speaker. 1839, he was defeated for elector. 1843, defeated for Congress. 1846, elected for Congress. 1848, he was defeated for Congress. 1855, he was defeated for Senate. 1856, he was defeated for Vice President. 1858, defeated for Senate. He failed more than he won. But in 1860, he was elected to President. See, you could fail and not be a failure. You're only a failure if you quit. He learned that failure was not final. He learned that, man, I'm going to fall up, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to fall down, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to fall down, I'm going to get back up. Hey, I'm going to just keep on going. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You mess up, man, pray and get forgiveness and get going. Some of us would think, man, God can't use me. Well, let's take out our chips. Let's take our soda and let's have a pity party, right? You're never going to get anywhere. Oh, you don't understand where I've been. I don't understand where you've been, but God understands where you were. And he understands that if you just give him your best, he'll use it. I like that verse. A just man falleth 7 times and gets back up. Failure is not final. Failure is just a process. When you're saved, failure is never final. Perhaps you've been in the pathway of failure and you're not saved. I want to encourage you. Let Christ pardon you and receive him as Savior. Maybe you're saved. I want to encourage you. Be restored. And don't quit. Some of you in Bible college, you're like, oh, my soul is just hard. I don't know what God wants me to do. Don't quit. I want to do something else. Don't quit when you're down. If you think God wants you to stop something, quit when you're ahead. Some of us, oh, man, it's just hard. Of course it's easy to quit. But let's not quit when it's hard. Let's quit. If God wants you to quit, he'll quit when it's when everything's good. I want to encourage you, keep going. Some of us, we're going through some things in our life. I want to encourage you, keep going. Keep plucking away. Let's pray.